broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome, welcome to the only, the only talk show that could go places other talk shows wish they could. We will lead the way if they'd like, but they generally just want to stay behind us. We're out on point here in the world of talk radio. And you just have to listen to figure out what it is I'm talking about. That's all I can tell you. You can also go to our website, philhendryshow.com, because if you're not visiting, really, any radio show that has it at all together has got a web platform that you can visit and utilize any number of things to get to know our show better. And with us, it's our video cast, which is on right now. It's also our archives, which you can access. It's also our podcasts, which you can access. It's also our webisodes. It's also our rants. It's our news feed. It's our email. It's a lot of things. So philhendryshow.com. And across the country on great affiliates, 150 wonderful affiliates here. And tonight we're going to do our affiliate spotlight before I forget. And in our affiliate spotlight tonight, of course, our great city of New York and our great affiliate there, WWRL. And in Bedford, Pennsylvania, WBFD, Bedford, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up tonight, you know that there was some trouble in Vancouver, and we're going to have Professor Emery Clayton on to talk about what happened in Vancouver, B.C. last night, British Columbia. That is the home of the Vancouver Canucks hockey team. And they had another, if you want to call it a riot, they had it was a riot, you know. And this is the third time, well, at least the second time that I can think of that they've had disturbances in Vancouver following the loss of a Stanley Cup. The last time was in 94. They lost the Stanley Cup in 81. I don't know whether they had problems there or not. So Professor Emery Clayton is going to be on the show with us. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills had an incident in his restaurant either last night or the night before that we're going to talk about, having to do with a restaurant owner, a business owner's right to control the customers and to control what is happening inside an establishment while it is catering to the public. It's still privately owned. How far should you be allowed to go as the owner of a business? And certainly that has been a discussion that we've had in recent days, having to do with all kinds of things, in recent years, having to do with all kinds of things, especially when it comes to, for instance, the rights of gay people. So we'll talk with Ted Bell next hour. And again, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We will have our news and information hour in the last hour of the show as well with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. We'll have, we'll repeat a little bit of our show business news that we actually gave to our to our Phil TV viewers. It was exclusive the other night, and we have not yet made a public announcement. We have been giving it to our subscribers, but we'll definitely roll out some information for you in the last hour. Joining us from Sylmar, California, is Professor Emery Clayton, who is a professor of urban studies at L.A. Canyon College. We welcome him on the program. Good evening, Professor. How are you?
Very good, Phil. Thank you.
And I didn't quite hear you, sir.
Very good, Phil. I appreciate you having me on the program.
Thank you very much. So last night you were watching along with, and as a professor of urban studies, that has to do not only with the physical environment, I think, of a city, but also the psychological environment of the urban landscape. You watched along with the rest of us as Vancouver had another civil disturbance, and this is not the first time.
It is not the first time. This is the... And you hit the nail on the head, Phil. It's about the second time, I think, that this has happened in the recent history of the city of Vancouver in British Columbia. Now, understand that we're dealing with a different model. We're dealing with a Canadian urban environment, which is slightly different from an American urban environment. It's not much different. But while the United States and Canada grew up together over many decades and centuries as two nations that seem to be pointed in the same direction, there's one fundamental difference. You don't have in Canada the resilience of an economy the way you do here in the United States. And by that I mean Canada is often exploited by larger countries with more people, more money, they are often the last people to take advantage of the wealth that their country has, a very wealthy country. And there should be no reason at all why Canada suffers as it does in some of these recessions, but they do.
And why is that?
Well, I think it's because of the economic exploitation of a country like the United States that cannot wait, in some instances, Phil, to stick its hand right into the Canadian till and pull out what it needs, you see, and leaving the Canadian people to fend for themselves.
All right, well let me ask you this. What does this have to do? I'm sure I know where you're going. Can you connect this to the events last night?
That's exactly what I was doing, connecting it to the events last night. If you would just hold on, I would be happy to connect it to the events last night. But I've got to give you some background, you understand?
All right.
The events last night were a number of youths in the city of Vancouver, British Columbia. These are young people who are enduring the same thing the rest of us are enduring, which is the recession, the worldwide depression, the economic drawing back of investment in business, which means there's an economic drawing back of investment in people. And in Canada, they are suffering this no less than the rest of the countries that we're talking about, United States, Canada, and so forth. The difference is this. In Vancouver, you have young people who have an outlet called hockey. And after they have this outlet, which is a national sport up there, there isn't much left. I look at these young people and what they did last night, and I ask myself, I think they used restraint.
Restraint?
Absolutely, I think they used restraint. Given what they have been faced with, given what they have shoved down their throats day in and day out in that country, given the big brother of America, and understand something, Phil, the United States of America provides the defense of Canada through the North American Allied Command. That is, the United States provides the air defense for both the United States and Canada. So Canada doesn't have to spend a lot of money on its national defense. But as a result, Canada finds itself a lapdog.
And all right, you know, Professor, you're getting a little dramatic here.
No, I'm not getting dramatic.
Well, I mean, Canada's a lapdog, you know.
Canada, the national identity of Canada has been beaten, slowly beaten out of it. There are people, and I heard you say this. I heard you say on your show once, what is the reason for Canada? As if anyone has to give a reason to live.
My point was, you know, Canada seems to be a reaction to America rather than its own place, you know?
Well, I think the reason for that is because the good Canadian people have had their national pride assaulted. They've had their national sense of resilience and strength beaten as if they were a sandbag hanging in a garage. And America comes out every morning and kicks and beats. I don't know if you've ever seen this Ultimate Fighting Championship. Have you ever seen this film?
Yes, I have.
Well, imagine if you had one of these Ultimate Fighters, and that's America, and Canada is just a bag hanging in the garage. And down the stairs every morning comes an Ultimate Fighter.
And all right, so the United States is abusing the hell out of Canada from your standpoint, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but what has this got to do with the riots?
Well, I have to tell you something, Phil. I think it's rude of you not to listen to what I've got to say.
I'm listening to you, but you are sounding the following theme.
I'm not sounding any theme. I'm telling you what's happening.
All right, and the theme is the following thing. Canada, among many things, has to endure the United States sitting here next door, stealing resources, pounding them economically, pounding them culturally. We're a UFC fighter that comes downstairs to the garage and beats up on the sandbag that is Canada. I got to tell you something. If I was a Canadian, I'm listening to you right now, I wouldn't be feeling too good about my car. I wouldn't think you're being very complimentary.
I beg your pardon, but I am taking the part of the Canadian people. How dare you say that?
You know, well, it sounds to me like you're talking about Canada like it's just some country that hangs there while everybody that wants to come along and take a shot takes a shot.
I'm telling you that there is a lot of that in what happened last night, and as a result of these young people being unemployed, these young people not having any option, these young people not having anywhere to go, these young people not having anything to do, they are going to take it out on someone. And I will tell you this, and I say this with as much responsibility as I can muster, I endorse this action. I support this action.
You support violence and lawlessness.
That is a very typical... Oh, I love you, Phil. You know,
you support lawlessness and violence.
Hold on for a minute. I love you because you're so predictable. I mean, I think you're a good man, Phil. You are so predictable.
No, but that's you support lawlessness, violence, the destruction of private property. That's what happens. Somebody's car in the street, some guy, some woman going upstairs. They're still working. Who knows? You know, they're trying to get something done. They want to come downstairs, get in the car and go home. And they look down there. Their car's on fire.
Yeah, that's a very neat scenario you just painted there. That's a very neat scenario. And that comes from, I would say, Phil, a man, you've worked in television, so I think you're more... You know, I think you're more familiar with creating fictitious scenarios than you are with dealing with real life. I'm here to tell
you. I don't have to be. I saw what I saw.
I'm here to tell you. Now, if you listen to me, there comes a time when a young person is pushed too far, and you know.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever led a riot?
Have I ever what?
Have you ever led, if you say that this is something that you endorse, have you ever led?
I most certainly have. I have, yes, I have led what I have called a civil disturbance, a civil insurrection. Yes, I have. No one was hurt.
Was there damage to property?
Boy, you really care about damage to property, don't you?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. Yeah, was there damage to property?
Yeah, Phil, it was up here at L.A. Canyon College. You know what happened. And it was following one of the football games. The students had been talking about this garbage that they were serving at the concession stand during the football games. They've been talking about it for 2 years. They didn't want to eat the ballpark. They didn't want to eat that Hebrew National. And this was a situation where the branding and the concession branding.
And Hebrew National. Now I'm remembering.
You're remembering what? You remember, yes, we objected to a product that was created by Zionists.
And you had a hot dog concession there that used what hot dogs?
They had ballpark franks. You know the story. They had ballpark, which was endorsed by Michael Jordan. And the next week, they come in with this Hebrew. And I said, all bets are off. And that's when, I think, 2 games in, they burned the whole concession stand to the ground. They burned that out. They burned out. They had a shaved ice stand. They had a cotton candy. The whole concession burned out, burned to the ground.
And those are people, understand, Emery, these are people that are, in many instances, private citizens. This is the only business they have.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about Hebrew National. That's a big company.
Yeah, but when you burned out that concession stand and burned out that... These are the small business people. They may be buying Hebrew National hot dogs to sell, or they may be using ballpark franks, but they're individual business people.
All the better, and I'm very glad you brought that up. All the better, as a responsible business person, to pay attention when the people... Boy, you don't get it. When the people...
Tell me what I don't get.
When the people are standing up and saying, we won't take it any longer, there's only one thing they can do, and that is react in a violent manner, not to take life, but to certainly take away from the capitalist the means by which he serves up his slop, and that was the concession stand.
And so you guys burned out a concession stand at a football game because of the ballpark franks going away and Hebrew National coming in.
A Zionist organization, yes.
A Zionist organization, and that's why you think last night in Vancouver was all right. And I think that the attitude you are expressing on this show, you are excusing any and all activity because why? Because America or the Zionists, you know.
Does it sound familiar?
Yes, it does.
Well, there's a reason why it sounds familiar, because it don't go away. And excuse me for fracturing the English language, but when I get a little hot, I forget to use the English language. But it doesn't go away. But the more angry I get, you know, it don't... You see, I just did it again. So you got...
All right, let's take a break and let's calm down here.
I don't have to calm down. I'm fine. But you understand that Vancouver, those white boys and white girls up there last night, they got angry because their hockey was gone, and there's Canada sitting like a lump of you-know-what in the middle of a highway, and they're crawling all over it looking for a scrap, looking for a kernel of corn.
877-876-PHIL. Put the good professor on hold. 877-876-PHIL. Last night's disturbances in Vancouver, the result of a depressed Canadian economy. And according to the professor, you just can't avoid these things. And yes, in point of fact, he said they have every right to express themselves in a violent fashion when there is no other outlet. 877-876-PHIL. It's a very dangerous point of view. We'll be back to talk more with Professor Emery Clayton here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Looking for a kernel of corn.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show here. Welcome back here. Professor Emery Clayton is with us. He is a professor of urban studies at L.A. Canyon College. 3 years ago, there were student disturbances on campus following a couple of football games, and they were led by members of the faculty. You were one of them, Professor Clayton.
That is correct, yes.
And in the process, there were concession stands that had been operated by individuals that were torched and burned to the ground. And there was other areas of the football operation there at the college that was damaged. Now we have this incident in Vancouver, and you tie these things together.
I am tying. Let me tell you what I'm tying together. I'm trying to make this as clear as I can to your listeners, because one of the difficulties that I have as a professor of urban studies, I have a great many middle-class youngsters who come into my class and they'll say, Professor Clayton, this is wrong and that is wrong. And I'll say, where are you from? What is your background? Oh, Professor Clayton, I come from the Valley. Professor Clayton, my family, this and that. I said, you're not black. And I don't hold anything against a man or a woman who's black, but they have no idea.
Well, the kids in Toronto weren't black.
They were black. Yes, they were, and I'll tell you why they were black. They weren't black in skin tone. They were black in experience. Those were black people in Vancouver last night.
And what? Oh, hold on.
I want to finish, Phil. You keep interrupting me here. And
all right, but it's a very bizarre statement.
Well, it may be bizarre, but I would put it to you this way. Those young kids in Vancouver, Canada, last night that saw their hockey team get punched around and beat up the same way their country did. You understand that what happened to the Vancouver Canuck hockey team last night is exactly what happens to their country at the hands of the United States every single day. Every day they get their, excuse my language, Phil, they get their asses kicked up one side and down the next. Every day, Canada is getting punched, kicked, and then it falls to the pavement, and there's America standing there with a wife beater on and big, thick-toed boots, kicking it in the kidneys until blood appears.
And all right, I get your point. I mean, so in other words, let's burn everything down.
In other words, let's see what the pride of these young people has been hurt. The country's pride is hurt. And rather than say, how are we going to keep this from happening again? We need more cops. We need more mounted, royal mounted. They got a thing in Canada. I don't know if you... What do they call that? The royal...
Royal Mounted Canadian... Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
The what?
The Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
So they've got cops on horseback up there to keep the rioters down and keep Big Daddy America happy. Because you know America checking in every day with Canada. Every day they're checking in saying, you keeping them down? Are you keeping them...
No, they're not doing that at all. They're not doing that at all. I find that's an overly simplistic look at the situation. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Here is Dave in Phoenix. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Phil, this guy that you got online, you are totally out of your mind. I mean, you're trying to tell us that these people in Canada were rioting because America is suppressing Canada? That's not the case.
I'm telling you that the Canadian economy is hurting, and the young people up there have no jobs.
I've heard you talk your rhetoric. Now, what the truth is...
Tell you what, Dave, hang on, Dave. Hang on. We're going to go to a break, and you hang on. We'll be right back, okay? We've got Dave, and we got Professor Emery, and we got the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and a number, and I just hung up on him. Oh, whatever. 877-876-PHIL.
You hung up on that man. Nice move.
Phil. I didn't know.
What an idiot.
Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I understand it. We're going to get back to our caller in Phoenix, and I apologize to Dave that we had to preempt him. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College with us on last night's riots or disturbances in Vancouver. Now, there were no deaths, thank God. I don't know how many people were injured. I don't think they were serious. I was monitoring it on Twitter, and I was also following CTV in Canada. There was property damage, and it seemed to be a pretty angry bunch of people.
Yes, it's an angry bunch of people, Phil. Please understand, before you indict me, please understand what you're dealing with socially in Canada. These are young people without any work. They live in a country that is far to the north. There is a very depressing atmosphere sometime when it's cold. It's a big country, and if you can imagine a huge country like Canada not even be able to provide for its own people. And so in the wintertime, you got young kids. The only thing they've got is hockey. And when the hockey team disappoints them, they say all bets are off. Katie, bar the door, and let's go to town. Now, there was a song once by the Stray Cats. I don't know if you ever heard this song called Rip It Up. Did you ever hear this song, Phil?
Yeah. It's a old rockabilly song.
Exactly. And that song has always been, for me, the young whites' expression of dissatisfaction, because what it's basically saying is, if I don't get a piece of what's happening around here, because I see a whole lot of good living going on, and I ain't getting a piece of that, well, brother, I'm going to rip this place to shreds tonight. And excuse me again for saying it like that.
So in other words, what we have here are groups of young people so pushed to the edge that they're rioting. And so we have no difference between that.
We ought to be familiar with that in America.
Yeah, but what we're not familiar with in America is you saying that's a good thing and you would lead the pack. Now let me get back here. This gentleman needs to be heard. Dave. Sorry about that, yeah. Dave. I hung up on you by mistake. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, that's okay. Hey, Professor, you sound like to me like you're a radical and you're trying to incite riots between America and the United States. And let me tell you something. There is no way that those students there, kids, rioted because they were suppressed out of work. They rioted because their team lost and they lost control over them team losing the cup to America. It has nothing to do with suppression and unemployment. I mean, how many people do we got unemployed? How many people do we got unemployed here in America? 30 million or something
right.
like that?
That's right. And how many disturbances do we have? How many disturbances do we have? How many riots do we have? We have the same thing.
You tell me.
We get the same thing.
We haven't had riots.
We have the same thing.
Well, we haven't had a lot of urban problems like we've had.
Wait a minute. What do you call that, O.J. Simpson?
Wait a minute. We don't have
what about O.J. Simpson?
O.J. Simpson?
We don't have
when they beat O.J. When they tased O.J. Simpson.
They didn't tase O.J. Simpson. That was Rodney King.
The hell it was.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
See,
no,
mean,
they
come
did
on,
not.
Professor. I mean, where did you get your doctorate at? I mean, you
excuse me, sir.
I'm surprised you're
you know, you can disagree with me, sir, but you don't have any right to question my academic credential.
Oh,
you may
sure
disagree with me.
Sure
but what are you bringing to the table? What are you bringing to the table? What are you bringing to the table?
I'm bringing a lot to the table. I'm bringing peacefulness and
I'm listening to you talking like I'm listening to you talking like you just come out. Where you in? Is this man in Arizona?
I'm
yeah.
Listening to you. You
sound like you just come out of one of them mines up in the hills.
I'm listening.
I don't know whether you've been.
Oh, I'm listening to you trying to incite riots and then sit there and say that it's okay that you go ahead and burn...
No, sir. I said I used one specific instance. I said one specific instance.
That's what it sounds like? Right.
No, I'm saying...
You've lost it.
That when you got these young whites... Let me ask you something. If you were hanging in a garage and every morning I came downstairs and started doing roundhouse kicks on your head, wouldn't you get pissed off? Of course you would.
Let me ask you something. Where does that come off with the, how do you compare that with the riot, with the riots that happened in Canada over losing the cup? What's that?
Because the United States of America and the economic depression worldwide, the United States of America treats Canada like it's nothing more than a hanging sandbag.
Oh,
come on.
You are crazy.
No, that's an asinine. Canada, if nothing else, is probably better off than the United States.
Are you out of your minds?
Right.
Are you out? Have you ever been up there? Have you ever seen those people? They're living half their lives out in
those people
in Canada.
I can't.
Have you been there, sir? Have you been there, sir? Have you been there? If you go to Canada and you see how they live, and they're out in the open,
what does that have to do with America? That has to do with their own government.
See, I'm going to jump in here, Dave. I think what's going on here. Hold on. Let me just say something here, Dave, because I agree with Dave. You have not made the case that the United States is somehow the U.S.'s economic stranglehold on North American, let's say North American commerce, has pushed Canada into a situation of such economic depression that the young people are rioting.
Did you not see a riot last night, or was I just imagining things? I got two of you guys telling me that I'm imagining things.
We saw the riot, but it wasn't because America's suppressing Canada. It was because they lost up and the kids went crazy.
Wait
That's
a minute. How many times
about.
They lose a how many times they lose a damn whatever you call it, what do you call it?
Stanley
and every
Cup?
Time,
Stanley
and every Cup. Time, and every time they did lose the cup they rioted. Is that
what
America?
About the other country? What about the
Is
other in America they don't riot? You think they're gonna riot in Boston? Well, maybe Boston, because they've got a lot of racism.
Oh, boy.
Unemployed. It has to do with the government and the way they manage their country. I mean, they've got the right to go out and free trade bring in companies to work and
manufacture. No, my good man.
Sure
you got
that.
It all wrong. You got
oh,
America
no,
checking
don't
in with Canada.
You,
every day, America
you
check in with Canada. That no, every day they got the hotline. You know they got a hotline. The president has a hotline to all, what do you call those leaders in the world. He calls up that Canadian and says, now, are we doing business today? Are you going to try to stick it to me? Because you know that Canada is second at the trough behind America. You know that.
Well,
and, yeah, but we're not. You're talking.
Every country in the United States.
They got to suck the slop.
America.
They got to suck our slop? I don't think so.
Well, you know something? I've heard an awful lot of real... You said the word rhetoric. I've heard a lot of insightful and inflammatory rhetoric, and you have not brought up anything. And the fact that you led a disturbance at your own school where they burned down concession stands...
They wanted us to serve that Zion dog.
You created a riot over hot dogs? I mean, come on. Who cares?
Are you kidding? Let me ask you a question. So you believe in feeding
hot dogs they eat, you know, and then you go out and incite a riot over a hot dog and demolish somebody's living that's feeding their families and stuff over a hot dog?
Dave's
hit it right on the head. And those are people, they may be buying those dogs, but they're not there. The people that you burned out are buying Hebrew National because... That's the dog that they wanted to buy, okay?
They should have stuck with Ballpark, because that's Michael Jordan's hot dog. But instead they went to Jew Dog.
This is America. You know, they've got the right to choose any
They
hot
have the right to do anything they want, yeah.
Yeah, and in the meantime, they're going to... So they got...
Those kids don't have to buy... Those kids don't have to buy the hot dogs that you were talking about.
I'm personally offended. I'm offended by having to eat the Zion dog.
All right.
And you incite a riot like that to burn down
Dave.
Living.
You've got to believe they had Ballpark for 15 years. We had Ballpark. Suddenly they go to Jew Dog. You tell me why.
You know, I don't like the term Jew Dog. I think that's offensive.
I'll tell you why. Because they suddenly got a sweeter deal. They had to spend less on the supply. They passed along a price increase to the students. So now the students are forced to eat Zion dog for another 30 cents, 50 cents, whatever it was. And these are students now living on God knows what.
Price for inflation.
And I said,
maybe they need.
And I said to them, I said, you know what? Light it up.
Inflation brought it up.
I gave the nod. I said to light it up.
And everything else went up.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Dave. I can't even believe. You know, I'm sorry.
Dave, thank you.
You know, I can't believe that you're a professor.
I'm going
to
take a.
I can't believe you're a voting American citizen, sir. So you say to me that, I say that back to you then.
All right, Dave, I got to go to another call. I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go on to Karen in Chattanooga. Karen, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, this professor is a nutty professor. You know, I'm sitting here listening to him ranting.
That's very cute, ma'am. That's very cute, ma'am.
You are.
I said that is very.
You really are. Number one, you incite riots over hot dogs. If the student, if the students didn't want to eat them, they didn't have to eat them. And it was that business's right to choose what they wanted to sell. Students didn't have to do it. And you incited a riot in America. I mean, you should be in prison for inciting
a riot. No, ma'am. Let me say, I was a member of the faculty. The faculty was chosen. The students said, if you lead, we will follow. They said, if you lead, I looked at a couple of my other professors.
That don't make a riot.
I gave them the heads up. I gave him a thumbs up. And the reason is simply this, if I may, ma'am, the reason is simply this. Our students come to school, they want to study, we want them to have the very finest in education, we want them to leave with an education and a degree. But in the meantime, you can't feed them something you'd feed to a pig. You got to feed them decent food. And
ballpark franks or something you...
No, a hot dog is a hot dog. It's a comfort food. It's something that you enjoy... When you go out, it's nothing major.
It's something that this their
you
dinner.
You bring your own in, but
that was their dinner. For some of these students, that's their dinner.
You should not be teaching. I'm glad my child is not
attending
your college because you.
Ma'am, I've got to tell you, I have to say to Mr. Hendry, I can't believe it. So, in other words, when I say to my students.
You are wrong.
We don't have to eat. We don't have to eat the dog. The dog that the Zionist feeds us. You think I ought to be fired? That's unbelievable.
You should be fired for starting a riot and burning
exactly.
down someone's business.
That's exactly
that's
right.
You can have
any protest you want.
I can have any protest, ma'am. All I said to them was, I took a bite. What happened was this. I went up, I ordered, I said, give me one, everything on it. They said, lots of mustard. I said, now you're talking. All right, now I get the hot dog. I took one bite, I chewed it three times, as I remember, one, two, three. I turned to the students and I said, light it up. Now,
oh, that's great.
You were wrong.
How am I wrong?
You said, well, I'm not going to do business with them no more. I don't like their business.
Eggs.
And go
there
on.
You go. That's what
you
we do. That's what we do in America.
And
that's what we do in America.
No right to do entice Canada students. I didn't see what happened, but listening to you people,
the Canadian
to
people are fed up
from people
the
taking
young,
other people's property.
All these young Canada people, they're all fed up. The young Canada, the young, what do you call them? The young
Canadians.
Canadians. They are sick to death of America beating them up.
You don't even know what
I do. I said I didn't know what you call them. What do you call them? What do you call them?
Students.
No. The ones in Canada. What do you call the Canada people?
Canadians.
That's what I misspoke on. Right. I misspoke.
Let me go back.
You have Canada people.
When my kids were in high school, and we had rivals in basketball, bad rivals, they did not condone, and students did not go and tear up and destroy other people's property because they lost a state tournament. To lose a cup,
that's because things were better with you. I'm sure you had a very comfortable neighborhood and a very comfortable life.
Please,
if you'll forgive me for saying, I'm sure you, the white people in your neighborhood, I'm sure they did
too.
It doesn't. The kids that rioted in Vancouver last night were white.
Yeah, they were white, but like I said, the kids in Vancouver
over a stupid hockey game. It's a hockey game.
A stupid hockey game.
It's
ma'am,
a game. It's
the
a
white.
Game. It's
that's the first time I've seen white people as black.
It has nothing to do with
all right.
life, sir.
Exactly. All right, Karen, thank you very much. We have to take a break. Our number 877-876-PHIL.
I wanted to finish up with that lady. She there?
No, we just have got to move on.
you know, you want to stack the deck against old Emory Clayton tonight, don't you? Stack the deck.
Stack the deck, nothing. I've heard your entire story. You said that that riot that took place at L.A. Canyon College, and it wasn't, was it a riot?
No, it wasn't. It was a disturbance, all right. No people got hurt. We burned them out. We ran them off and burned them out.
And all right, so you walk up to that hot dog stand.
Yeah. They told me that that game, it was a football game on a Friday night, and they said that this was the first night that they would be serving, a Hebrew national.
Okay. And right away, you've got some prejudice.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, they're not ballpark Frank now. It's Hebrew national, huh? Jew dog?
Anyway, I walked up. I said, give me one, everything on it, lots of onions. And they loaded it up for me, and I said, thanks a lot. I tipped the kid, and I got a small Coke. I turned around. I took one bite. I threw it into the garbage, wiped my hands, and I said, put my thumb up, and I said, light it up. And I actually lit a big lighter. That was the signal. Okay.
Oh, you, buddy. All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Can you believe the brazen gall? The brazen gall took one bite, and he had the guy load the dog up with onions, relish. God, I'm getting hungry.
Gavin, not a Jew dog.
Don't you ever say Jew dog. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Coming up next hour, we've got Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Speaking of hot dogs, we're going to be talking about an incident that took place at his restaurant around, forgive me, I don't mean to engage in these juvenile double entendres, but literally around the Anthony Weiner story. On the line with me is Professor Emory Clayton, as we conclude here. He's a professor of urban studies at L.A. Canyon College, where you have been very open, Professor, in saying that you, along with other faculty members, led a disturbance, an insurrection, or whatever, an action, as you called it.
That is exactly what it was. It was an action that was promulgated by the students themselves against the instinct and the undemocratic action of a hot dog man, or however you want to put it. You're going to make me, and you know, you want jokes. You know I'm black, and you know that black people have struggled, black males have struggled with a feeling of a fairness, I guess you would say, toward gay people. You know this, don't you?
I understand there's been some conflict there, yeah.
All right. Knowing what you know, and then you ask me to put a foot-long Jew dog in my mouth, the symbolism of that, for me...
Oh, grow up.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Grow the hell up. What are you talking at? You know, I don't like that term Jew dog either.
You may not like it, but you're the guy that's... You're the one that's slipping it into my mouth. You're the one that said to me, hey, Emory, congratulations on your doctorate, congratulations on your education, congratulations on everything that you are, but you're still going to take this Zion dog. I'm going to slip about a foot of it into your mouth.
You know what the problem is here?
Now tell me, doctor. What's the problem?
The problem here is that you have decided this is a personal fight of some kind. This is a...
No, sir, it is not.
No, it absolutely is. I know a personal... I know when somebody's taking something real personal when I hear it. And this is some kind of a personal fight that you have with the power structure in America that you see is infiltrated and influenced by the Zionist or the Jewish influence. I mean, this is stuff that is so old hat. It's so 19th century.
19th century?
Very 19th century thinking. Very, anybody that has the, anyone that says the whole Jewish conspiracy thing these days, they're living in 1893.
Well, then I guess I'm living in 1893, okay?
And well, one thing they didn't have in 1893 was Hebrew national.
Bill, I've got nothing against... You know, you want to turn me into a Jew hater, and that you are not going to be successful. I have nothing against I have nothing against a Hebrew. I don't have anything against a Hebrew making a hot dog, all right?
Yeah?
Well, what do you mean, yeah? Are you listening to me? I'm trying to make it up to you now and all your listeners. I don't want to be called an anti-Semite. I don't want to be called an anti-Zionist. I love the Jewish people with all of my heart. I don't want to be seen as someone that does not like Jewish people. But you force me into gritting my teeth and having to ride it when you say to me, guess what, next week, brand new concession, foot-long Jew dog. Slip your lips on that. Do you understand what that does to me and all my students?
Oh, God. You know...
And now you're laughing. Now, you know what, I don't give a... I'm staying late for this bullcrap, white man.
Get up.
No kidding, he hung up. Boy, bud, you state the obvious. We'll be back. Ted Bell next hour. I apologize. We'll get Professor Clayton back on maybe in the third hour. I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. Ted Bell coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry.
I didn't get out of the third grade for this.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Ted's of Beverly Hills, Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey everybody, this is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills, reminding you that we've got a delicious prime rib, all day cooked. It's not in the prime rib room, that's our bar.
Here at Ted's,
but the other one...
The prime rib room is where?
Prime rib room is our bar, and that is where we hold forth on, especially we hold forth on Sundays, Phil, and on days where...
You know, it's really loud wherever you are.
Yeah, I'm going to move into the, try to get to the office here. It's just a, the prime rib room is, of course, our lounge, also our bar. We also have a fire pit out back people can enjoy. And it's the kind of experience, I think it's the kind of dining experience that people are going to enjoy when they come out to California. If you're not from California, visit. We sure hope that you visit us here at Ted's Beverly Hills. Again, the prime rib room is our lounge, but on Sundays we have our all-day cooked prime rib. Oh, boy, it's something else.
All right, we have today Congressman Wiener stepping down, and it was a resignation that turned into quite just a ridiculous circus.
Yeah, it was embarrassing for the congressman.
Well, you know, I would say this, and I don't want to, you know, I will say the following. I know that Howard Stern's guys got in there, and I have to say that if ever there was a time that a press conference needed that kind of comic relief, I think it was today.
Well, I disagree with you, Phil. I think you've got a United States Congressman, Anthony Weiner, who, yes, He disgraced himself, yes. He disgraced his office, yes. He was engaged in inappropriate behavior, but I still say that the office of a United States congressman is one that is, it is cut above any other kind of a job that we can have in this country. I think the people that assume those jobs are people that care about the country. I think that they're flawed human beings. And I think in the case with Anthony Weiner, I am a supporter of his. I do not like what he did, but I'll tell you something else, Phil. I don't like the continual childish, juvenile, double entendre, the jokes, even on your program, with the greatest of respect, and I advertise on your show, so you know that I respect you. And
well, what have we done? I don't think we've done all that much.
Yes, you have, but I just heard you talking to Professor Clayton. I was offended.
All right, he got involved in some discussion there that I thought was very inappropriate as well. But I do try to keep the tone here elevated.
Well, you know, if you try to keep the tone elevated, I appreciate that, Phil. But when you have a gentleman on your program with the jokes that he was making, and so I won't stand for it. And you're talking about Tuesday night.
What happened on Tuesday night? Because it was Piscatelli. Is that the young man?
The family's name is Art Piscatelli, who is a longtime customer of mine. He's in real estate in Beverly Hills. The family came in, and they were having a steak dinner. I think they were celebrating a graduation. And the young boy, I thought, was completely out of line. And I will tell you this, Phil, and this is the point that I made with you, and I know your listeners out there, those of your listeners who have businesses, they're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. And a lot of times it's frustrating when I'm on your program because so many of your listeners and so many listeners of radio shows in general don't own businesses. They don't operate businesses. They don't really know how it is. I own Ted's of Beverly Hills. This is my restaurant. I know that I do business with the public, and I have to adhere to federal law and to state law with regard to that, but I still own this business. And if you walk into any restaurant, you will see in some places no shirts, no shoes, no service. You see that?
Sure.
And that is the proprietor reserving the right to himself to remove from the premises anyone that thinks they're going to somehow call the shots in somebody else's house, if I may put it in that way.
No, I understand what you're saying.
All right. I have a saying here at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Our customers are family. We don't put that in the advertising because I think it would insult people to get that schmaltzy. I think anybody that eats at this restaurant that has been coming here for a long time, they know that our customers are family. We treat our customers like family. I know everybody. I know the table they want to sit at. In many instances, I know, especially our older customers, what is their choice of cocktail. I make it my business. That's what I do.
That's what any good restaurant owner would do, I guess.
Absolutely. So that when the Piscatelli family came in, and I heard the youngest one, this young boy, Anthony, he made this Anthony Wiener crack. As I said, I treat people like family. I slapped him.
You slapped the kid in the face.
I slapped him. Let's just, you know, take it easy, Phil. I slapped him.
Did you not slap him across the face?
Yes, I did. But I'm going to put something to you, Phil. What I did with that boy, I would do to my own son. I would do to my wife. As I say...
To your wife?
As I say, I treat people, customers like family.
But to your wife?
Yes, to my wife. What is the... I don't abuse my wife. What I'm saying...
You slap your wife.
Well, Phil, you want to get into a big to-do. I slapped my wife, she slapped me, so what?
Well, first of all, what we're talking about here is that you slapped a customer.
Let's not make this bigger than it is, all right? A customer came into my restaurant the other night and made a crude joke about this Congressman Wiener. I've heard all of the Wiener jokes, I've heard all of this crudity, and I'm fed up with it, and I know a lot of people are. And so when this kid came out with this, you know, I want a corn dog or whatever it was that he said, I heard cornhole, and I slapped him. Now,
but you're saying to me that, first of all, that's very unusual. You heard him say, you thought he said corn, what was it?
I thought I heard the kid say cornhole. And that's when it was automatic. I think it would be automatic with anybody. I think if in that instance... with the situation the way it is in this country, with the this guy Wiener resigning, with just the status of this country and the way that we are, we seem to be going down the sewer hole in terms of our morality. When I heard this kid say, and the words that I heard were, give me a cornhole or something like that, I slapped him right across the face.
And what was it that he was saying?
Said corn dog, but it's the same thing.
And no, it's not the same thing.
Well, no, you're right. It's not the same thing. But he said corn dog, and so I was assuming it was a penis joke, and I acted accordingly. Now, let's just look before we get off on it.
All right, I got to tell everybody that this is the Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876 Phil. We're talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. The story that you're telling here, Ted, where you, the proprietor of a restaurant, hauled off and smacked someone's kid.
I know that family very, very well. And as I've said, at Ted's of Beverly Hills, we treat you like family. All right?
All right. I know you say that. And I think that when any customer, any consumer hears a slogan like that...
what do you mean, hears a slogan like that? That is entirely unique to... What does that mean? Hears a slogan like that. That is something that we came up with.
Well, I've heard, Ted, please, you know, we've heard other businesses say your family. And I'm saying that when I hear that phrase, I don't automatically think that they have the right to slap my kid, okay?
Well, I apologized. It was, the point is, Phil, that I was provoked. I was provoked into that action by a kid with a smart mouth. And
but the kid was not trying to be dirty or anything. He asked for a corn dog.
Which, you know.
And you heard cornhole, and you smack him.
But what I said to Piscatelli, I said, Art Piscatelli, you got to understand that when we're in the middle of the news that we're hearing, and I don't want to hear any more wiener jokes, and in comes a kid saying he wants a corn dog, and I hear cornhole, and I'm going to react. And as I said to him, I would do the same thing to my own son. I would do the same thing. Well,
you would. You've said that you will smack your wife.
I said that to him because he at times has slapped his own wife.
Have you slapped your wife?
You know what, Phil? I'm gonna.
Have you slapped your wife?
I'm gonna hold on. Just am I a sponsor in this program? Yes, I am.
You are.
All right, so I'm going to have to pull the sponsor card and say I'm a sponsor on the program. I don't want to answer any more of your questions, which are only designed to put me in a bad light. And,
Mr. Hall.
Hold on for a minute. David Hall is on the line here. Let me see. Hey, David.
Yeah, Phil, listen. Ted, how are you? Very good. I don't know if you're listening. I am, and I would ask you, Phil, to not go down this road.
Why not?
And, well, what is it with you with the why not? What do you mean by that?
Why can I not go down this road?
Because he's a sponsor. And I don't want you asking him questions about whether he smacks his wife. Okay? He's already admitted to slapping the face of someone else's kid. We can debate whether he had the right to do that. Because this kid was smart-mouthing him with, what was it, Ted? He said cornhole. Cornhole.
All right. Thank you very much, David.
I'm not done yet.
All right, but I have to. I got to move along. Okay.
All right.
877-876 Phil.
Did you hear what he said?
I heard what he said. Here is the problem that I'm having with all of this. Number one, you say you slap your wife. Okay. Number two, you slap this kid. You said the kid was making a crude Anthony Weiner style joke.
Yes, he was.
The kid had asked for a corn dog.
We don't serve corn dogs, Phil, so the kid was trying to make a sexual, what do you call it, sexual double entendre, however they say it. And
No, hold on for a minute. That's not why you slapped him. Well, you found out corn dogs, so you're trying to say that's what it was, but you slapped him because you heard cornhole.
Yes, I did, and I thought to myself, and I was thinking, what... Pull the balls on this kid. And so I reacted automatically. Phil, I would only remind you and your listeners, I said customers, the same thing. In my house, in my home, where I do my business, Ted's of Beverly Hills, I have to be able to control. And
I understand, Ted, but tonight you have come out with a couple of admissions here. One of them slapping the kid. All right, we could debate. I don't think you put your hands on another person's kid. You can go to the parents and say that I heard this kid say cornhole.
It was a very automatic thing, but again, we treat customers like family. Please keep that in mind. We treat our customers like family.
You can't take that literally.
You know, Phil, if you spent less time stumbling over what it is you want to say and know what you want to say...
You can't treat customers like family that way. You can't say, we treat our customers like family. That means I get to slap your kid. All right.
Oh, you can, huh?
And then you come out and tell me I treat them like family, like I slap my own son and my wife.
I said I slap Marcy and she slaps me.
All right, well, we're going to take a break here.
I would rather not break on a down note. I don't want to break at a point where I look like, and forgive my language, I don't want to break at a point where I look like an ass to the audience. I'd like to break at a point where I have a little bit more of, you know, that I look... Yeah, people think that I'm... I don't know. I feel...
Well, Ted, you're rolling out your story here.
Yes, and what's happening is you're interrupting me. You had to have David Hall call in and tell you, don't go down that face-slapping route with my wife, and you went ahead and did it anyway.
So, all right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. If I get into trouble, I get into trouble. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is on the line with us. And he is tired, as I'm sure all of us are tired, of listening to this, the Anthony Weiner double entendre jokes. He heard a kid in his restaurant, a boy of 10, order a corn dog. He thought he heard the term cornhole, and he slapped the kid. He says he treats his customers like his family, which includes slapping his own wife. So we're getting some information here from Ted. He is a sponsor. I don't know how far I will be allowed to go, but we'll be back here. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. We have on the line with us here Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We had a little bit of a communication bust up, and we're going to get him right back on the line here in just a moment. But as we do, you let me know, bud, when we get him back, okay?
Yeah, right. You go ahead.
All right, we're going to go ahead and we'll hit the jingle. We are talking to Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
I don't know if they hung up on me. Ted Bell here from Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills. Come on in. The Stanley Cup is over, but we got baseball in the
Here
prime rib room.
No, I did not. We did not hang up on you, Ted. We had just a lost communication there, okay? Welcome back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and a longtime sponsor of ours, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. All right, so last Tuesday night, you had a family come in. You know this family. You're fed up with the dirty jokes, the Anthony Weiner jokes. I don't blame you. We all are. A little boy says to you, I want a corn dog.
Well, first of all, Phil, I think you need to understand the Piscatelli family. I do know them. But I want to repeat, every customer we have, we treat as if they are family. Now, that means something to me, and that's meant something to me and my family for a long time. But there's a flip side to that, Phil. If I say I'm going to treat you like family and I don't, I am exposed. I leave myself legally exposed.
What do you mean legally exposed?
Exactly what I said. If I say I treat you like family and you come into my restaurant and start talking about cornhole, what I do with my son, I'll smack the taste out of his mouth. And I did that to Piscatelli's kid. I did it because I was particularly perturbed at the whole Anthony Weiner stuff.
And you're legally exposed. You're saying somebody could sue you if you didn't smack their kid because you say you treat people like family.
That is my understanding, yes.
877-876-PHIL as we talk here with Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills about this incident in his restaurant and all of this stuff flowing from the Anthony Weiner situation. By the way, he resigned today. Anthony Weiner did. Here is Jerry. Go ahead, Jerry. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad Ted mentioned the whole legally exposed because I'm sure in his state, as well as many states I've been through, it is illegal for another person to touch a child. I think it's illegal for most parents to do corporal discipline. But if somebody touched my child, even if it's something I might want to use some physical discipline for, I would probably get rather violent with that gentleman.
Well, wait a minute. You don't believe that your kid can come into my restaurant and say, hey, yeah, cornhole. You think he's allowed to do that?
Even if he did something inappropriate or obscene, that is the parent's job to handle. I mean, what? You do not have the right. It is illegal to physically harm another child.
Wait a minute. What gives him the right? Why does he have the right to come in and start talking about cornhole right in the middle of a dinner hour?
You're a public establishment. You can ask him to leave.
Well, I will tell you this, sir.
You can refuse service. You cannot touch another child. If I
well, we got a problem because I said we treat you like family. If I don't smack him, then I'm a liar. See?
Oh, you know what, Ted? I'm going to come to your restaurant. I'm going to come to your restaurant, and I dare you to touch my child. I dare you.
Well, if your child comes into my restaurant and says, "Hi, Mr. Bell, cornhole," are you thinking that I won't? I mean, what choice do I have? You give me no choice.
You know, and you would give me no choice but to make you a permanent part of your wall.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I know. I get it. But let me just say
this. Don't touch my child.
What do you do with the lawsuit after I sue you because your kid came in and potty-mouthed my restaurant and made some old lady throw up?
I would apologize. I would apologize. I would get my kid out of the restaurant.
Well, that's not good enough. Your kid says cornhole in my restaurant, that means a bunch of people leave. I've lost that business. A woman vomits because that's something that's disgusting to women.
What are you saying, Ted? You've just heard this man say he would apologize. You, on the other hand, are slapping a kid.
I said we treat him like family.
That doesn't mean you're going to get sued. This man is going to sue you if you do slap the kid. And on top of everything else, when you say we treat you like family, I slap my wife. I mean, you know.
Yeah, what? Let me ask this gentleman, Jerry.
What you're doing behind closed doors with your family, that's between you, the law, the counselor, and Child Protective Services. But you touch my kid, I will own your restaurant, and I'll probably hurt you in the process.
Well, yeah, but you see, once you file that lawsuit, then I could say to the judge, yeah, but his kid walked in and tried to purposefully destroy my business by talking about cornhole.
A little kid?
That's a no, matter of, I don't
that,
think
that
so.
That is a matter of argument and perspective.
That's what your kid did.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, sir. We'll take a break. 877-876-PHIL. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on the line with us. And he smacked somebody else's kid for doing an Anthony Weiner joke. We'll be back at the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Every night is a great night. Birthdays, anniversaries, it doesn't make any difference. At Ted's of Beverly Hills, you're all welcome, no matter what religion. Downtown Beverly Hills.
Ted Bell is one of our sponsors here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and it is a segment that we're doing tonight with Ted on the Anthony Weiner jokes and what happened in your restaurant on Tuesday night. Now, you just heard a man say that if you put your hands on his kid, if you smacked his kid, you'd be a permanent part of your own wall.
Well, I often think people talk that way, but I think had that father been there, had that gentleman that I just spoke to, and you'll notice I'm being very cool about that. That guy threatened me physically. Obviously, I'd have a lawsuit of my own. And
if you were to slap anyone's kid, I'm shocked that Mr. Piscatelli, you know this guy, he didn't do anything.
He was complete, totally understood. And we shook hands. We recognized it was all a big misunderstanding. The desserts were on me. We had a wonderful night. And I have to be honest with you, his son, Anthony, got a slap across the face that he didn't deserve, but that I thought that he did deserve. And let me tell you again, Phil.
See, that's the other thing. This boy never said anything that he intended to be offensive at all.
Well, you say that he didn't say anything that he intended to be offensive at all. We're in the middle of a news cycle that has one of the most disgusting stories on record, Anthony Weiner. In walks a kid into a steakhouse. There's nothing about my restaurant at all that would make you think We are some Santa Monica Pier concession. You've been here, Phil. Is that right?
Yes, I know.
All right. Well, there's nothing about my restaurant that would make you think we're some kind of a beachside burger joint. We are a classy steakhouse. So when that boy walks in and stands in front of me like he's a member of Congress himself, he had on a little suit, and he's looking at me like, you know, we're equals, and he says to me, give me a corn dog, which is what he said, apparently. And
all right, so the little guy, do you know him?
Yeah, I know him.
So maybe he's just trying to be a big guy.
He's trying to be a big guy. He's looking at me. We've just had a... Boy, Phil, we've just had a story in the news about a guy named Anthony Weiner exposing himself to a woman. Every guy saw those pictures and immediately feels inferior. Here comes this kid, so I'm already in a bad mood. I'm already feeling, you know, upset.
And well, how upset are you? I mean, is this kind of lingering in your mind?
It has for a lot of guys. Now in comes this kid. I don't see any adults with him. I know who he is, but I didn't quite recognize him. He says to me, hey, Bell, what do you think? Cornhole? And he had said...
See, that's just it. You keep saying that. He didn't say that. He said corn dog.
Yes, he said... I've got the recording if you want to hear it.
That was my understanding. Bud told me and Jason said, you have a recording of this?
Yes, I do. This was actually a tape recording that we took initially because there was a film crew in there. We were doing some commercials. And we took the audio track off of this commercial. And I've got it right here. Just a second here, Phil. I recorded early 2019 hours. Ted's Beverly Hills, Tuesday night. I'm Ted Bell.
Hey, Mr. Bell. What do you say we team up? Team up with a corn dog.
Cornhole, huh? Watch this.
Oh, I didn't say corn dog. Ow!
Ass. All right, you heard that, right?
I heard you saying, oh, 2019 hours?
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. Boy.
So, let me ask a question. What was I supposed to have heard?
You didn't hear what I just played.
I heard a kid say, hey, Mr. Bell, team up corn dog.
All right, that was what... He walked in, and he said, what do you say we team up on a cornhole? That's what I thought he meant.
And well, what did he say? He said, let's team up for a corn dog?
He said, you and me and a corn dog. Now, when I listened to the tape recording back just now, I recognized that that could be perceived as well as a sexual entendre.
Wait a second. You are talking to a 10-year-old boy. You slap him across the face for something he didn't say. Now you're trying to defend the action you took by saying, well, you know...
What kid walks in and says, let's team up for a corn dog?
I don't know, man. I don't know anything about corn dogs. I'm not particularly a fan of corn dogs. You know.
What, huh? What do you got? What kind of a fan do you have to be? Have you ever said to somebody, do you like hot dogs?
Sure I do.
Have you ever said to someone, let's team up on a hot dog?
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe?
Maybe I've said, let's team up, let's go in, split one.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, that it can be interpreted that way.
He's walking into my restaurant. He's 10 years old, he's wearing a suit. Yes, he's young, but he looks like he means business. And then out of his mouth says, here comes team up and cornhole.
Now, what does that mean, looks like he means business?
I don't know, maybe. I don't know what he had in mind.
Well, Ted, I think it's a pretty asinine. Let me hear that again.
Hear it again.
You want to hear it again? All right. Hold on. Recorded 2019 hours. Tuesday night. I'm Ted Bell.
Mr. Bell? When I came up, one-on-one, cornhole.
Oh, really? Cornhole, huh? Come here. Is that something on your nose?
No. Yeah!
Yeah, uh-huh. Have a big one now. All right, there it is.
I heard the kids say go one-on-one.
Yeah, that's what it was, one-on-one. I don't know what he said, team up. One-on-one's even worse. One-on-one, there's no turning back. Phil, there's no turning back. I said to his father, I said, there's no turning back from slapping a kid's face. He said, let's go one-on-one. Now, it becomes a gay proposition. uh, is that funny to you? Because I've got a multi-million-dollar business that's hanging in the balance.
What are you talking about, man?
Is that funny to you? You want to keep laughing? How'd you like it if I pulled my advertising?
All right, take it easy, okay?
You wouldn't like that. Are you laughing now?
Hey, Ted, take it easy, okay?
I'm taking it easy. I don't like being laughed at, especially when I'm talking about something. I could have been sued. That guy could be sued. I got another guy calling me up telling me he's going to sue me.
I don't know what you mean, man, when you say that it could have been a gay proposition.
You heard that. I don't know what you mean, man, when you say. Didn't you hear the guy say one-on-one?
First of all, again, I have to remind you, it's a 10-year-old boy.
I know that.
No, hold on. Secondly, the little guy wants a corn dog. He's been in your restaurant before. Have you ever served him a corn dog?
How in God's name would I know that? How do I know from one day to the next what they serve here? I own the restaurant. I don't know what's coming out of that kitchen. God Almighty, I go home at night, Phil, and I drop to my knees and I pray to God. I pray to God. And I'm not religious. But I go home at night and I pray to God that someone that ate in my restaurant that night isn't found the next day. And you know what I mean by found.
Well, Ted, a little control over what you're serving is probably a pretty good idea.
I understand that, but we've expanded. Okay, we're putting in another fire pit.
So, well, you could be putting in another fire pit, but maybe you ought to be paying attention to business, because it sounds like you know, Ted, you've got some legal. You know, you like the word exposed.
I don't like it. No, I don't. Especially in light of this Wiener story. And no, I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all. I don't like what that guy said. You're exposed. Oh yeah. Well, wouldn't you like to see it? See, this is how my mind works.
Well, you know what? You're going to have to get your mind straight, because this is a kid that came in and said, I don't know what one-on-one means. He wanted a corn dog. You heard cornhole. You smacked him. And you did it in a way that I think was very childish.
What are you talking about?
Is that something on your nose? Bang.
I did. The kid likes the Three Stooges, okay? He should have known. When I said, is that something on your... Here, let's do it again.
Now, come on.
No, I want to play it again, so I don't want you telling people something happened that didn't happen.
All right, go ahead.
At 2019 hours, at my restaurant Tuesday night, I'm Ted Bell.
Mr. Bell? You and I go one-on-one and really team up. Let's hit it out of the park tonight. Cornhole.
Oh, you filthy little piece of...
Wouldn't you like to know?
Ow, ow, ow! Yeah! Boy, that felt good. Okay, that's it.
Jeez, every time I hear this tape, there's something new going on.
You go ahead and laugh it up, man. You laugh it up.
Every time I hear the tape, there's something new going on. I just heard you smack the hell out of him in that tape.
Well, I don't know which version we've got. It was recorded by three different cameras.
And I did hear the kids say, let's go one-on-one, tag team or something.
Yeah. So what am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to say when a kid, I don't care how young, says to me, let's tag team on a corn dog? You better not be laughing.
I'm not laughing. I think what we have here is you smacked a kid, and now you're coming up with all kinds of bullcrap to try to keep yourself from being sued.
That is a filthy lie, Phil. I'll see you in court. I'll see you in hell. Mr. Bell, shut up. I hung up on him.
No, you didn't.
The hell I didn't.
How are you talking to me then?
I'll see you hang. Hang it up then, dude. Hang it up.
You still haven't hung it up.
I know. Hold on. Please let me hang it up. Please. Please let me hang it up. Let me do that.
Dean hung up.
I know, but I don't want to listen to that. That's the most pathetic thing I've ever heard in my life. Please let me hang it up. Wow. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and all I can tell you is that in recent years, I know that Mr. Bell... Yeah?
I'll see you hang.
Okay, thanks, Captain Bly. Anyway, in recent years, I think he's getting softer in the head. That's what I think is going on.
But I want a business as good as he said it is.
Well, I think his business is good.
But to smack a kid in the face, he ought to know that that's going to, talk about being exposed, that'll expose him legally. And I'm not buying this whole thing about, you know what, we tell people that we treat them like family, so I smack the kid as just like I do my wife.
Oh, man. You're not allowed to do that, are you?
No, you're not allowed to do that. No, you're not allowed to do that. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget, we have our news and information hour ahead as well on this here Tuesday. What is it? Thursday, man. Tomorrow is Friday. A sweet, sweet, sweet thing that is. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, so we have our news and information hour coming up next hour with Bud and Robert, and we'll get into a very interesting story. It's nothing that's going to change the course of humanity. It's nothing that's going to change the history of the world, although Hugh Hefner's a significant individual historically. But the story behind this pending marriage that is not going to happen now is kind of interesting and sort of weird and very American, and like so many things these days, plays out as a live soap opera. So we'll talk about that. Now, we were discussing Anthony Weiner, the congressman who today resigned. And this man's resignation, as I said to Ted, this was not the most dignified. This was not the most dignified resignation. Not the most dignified moment in a guy's life, going out as Howard Stern's guys are heckling you. But you know what? If ever there was an appropriate time for Howard's guys to be there ripping somebody an ass, it was this. I mean, there's absolutely nothing classy about what this guy did, and there's nothing classy about the very thing that he did that is forcing him out of his position as a congressman. And so, why not have a dude screaming at you about how slick your chest looks? And, so after another apology to his wife and constituents, Representative Anthony Weiner says he's no longer able to effectively serve as a congressman. He will step down. He's heckled by at least, two people, one confirmed to be Benji Bronk of the Howard Stern Show.
I had hoped to be able to continue the work that the citizens of my district elected me to do, to fight for the middle class and those struggling to make it. Unfortunately, the distraction that I have created has made that impossible. So today I am announcing my resignation from Congress.
Yeah!
So my colleagues can get back to work, my neighbors can choose a new representative, and most importantly, that my wife and I can continue to heal from the damage I have caused.
What was he yelling? I'm sure I am resigning. Yay! You pervert! The heckling by Bronk continued through Weiner's resignation speech, asking the congressman if he's more than 7 inches.
I want to thank my colleagues in the House of Representatives, Democrats and Republicans alike. They come from different places around the country, but fundamentally, we all agree. They're all patriots, and I will miss them all. Thank you. I also want to express my gratitude to members of my staff. They're young people who are not paid very much. They're people that worked very hard and very long hours. Ultimately, those people define the notion of service.
I think it's funny. As Weiner wraps up his press conference, the heckler gets a final question in, asking about his physique.
I got into politics to help give voice to the many who simply did not have one. Now I'll be looking for other ways to contribute my talents to make sure that we live up to that most New York and American of ideals. The idea that leaving a family, a community, and ultimately a country is the one thing that all unites us, the one thing we're all focused on. With God's help and with hard work, we will all be successful. Thank you and good afternoon.
Will you maintain your hot physique and screw yourself?
What do we got?
Got David.
What does he want?
Yeah.
All right, I'll get to him in a second. Put him on hold, all right? Finally, New York Representative Peter King and Bill Pascrell. King is a Republican. Pascrell is a Democrat. React to the news that their colleague is stepping down.
He's making the right decision. It's for his own good. Anthony Weiner has to resign. He would have been totally ineffective.
He's ashamed of what he's done. And your heart has to go out to the guy, whether you liked him or you didn't like him.
Yeah, David.
What do you think is so funny?
You know, I want to tell you something, okay?
No, just let me ask you a question. What do you think is so funny?
I want to tell you something. You come on here during the last hour and telling Ted, oh, you don't ask anything about slapping his wife. Don't do this, don't do that. Now you're coming on about what?
You're laughing it up in the middle of a resignation of a congressman.
Because those cats are funny.
What cats?
Those guys from Stern Show.
Oh, come on, will you? Do you need to give that guy any more publicity than he already gets? You know, he's over there on Sirius or whatever they call it. That thing is dead. Dead, dead. And we're about to shovel dirt on top of it, and you keep giving them life by talking about him.
I'm not talking about them, man. It was in the news.
Hey, what's with this man, okay? Look, Phil, I understand you come from some sort of a bohemian background. Would you mind not calling me man? Everything with you is man. I'm not man. I'm not cat.
It's in the news, David.
What is?
What do you mean, what is?
I know Weiner is, but I didn't know that the, you know, Sirius stock today is $1.94. $1.94! And what you want to do is just keep pumping life into him, another blood transfusion, and the next thing you know, Karmazan comes back to life. And brother, when he comes back to life, you better pray for the sun to come up.
Because I don't know what you're talking about. All I'm saying is this was very funny. It was very funny.
It was very funny of those guys standing there asking him about the size of his you-know-what. Very funny of them. Everything with Howard Stern. This poor man.
Oh, this poor man.
Yes, that's right. He served his constituents well. And one night, in a weak moment, if you took a look at yours and it looked like his, wouldn't you be taking pictures of it?
Yeah, maybe, but I wouldn't be...
Uh-huh. So you would.
I wouldn't be sending them around the country. I wouldn't be texting them or messaging them or...
You don't text pictures. Oh, boy.
Pictures?
I meant pictures. I said pictures, but you don't text them.
What do you do with them?
What do you mean, what do you do with them?
If you don't text a picture, what do you do with it?
You send it on the... You send it out.
Yeah, how?
You send it on the... What do you mean, how? It goes out over the Webernet or something. I don't know.
The Webernet. Okay, David.
You know, Phil, what you do is you say these things to get me to call in, and then I wind up, I got egg dripping off my chin, looking for a towel, and there isn't one to be had. And I can tell.
I can't do it, bud.
Yeah, but what am I supposed to do? Hang up on him?
No, I'll take the call, but I can't just keep going on and on and on with this guy. He's nuts. He's nuts. Okay. He calls up, and he is upset with me about something that he hears me doing, and he winds up saying stuff that we have to apologize. I'm tired of having egg dripping off my chin, and I'm looking for a towel.
Yeah.
All right, we're coming back with our news and information hour. Next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com right now, live streaming video of the show.
Phil Hendry.
I got a towel off.
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This hour, Hugh Hefner's runaway bride, Crystal Harris, puts out a song and...
Get to the joke!
Don't all do those jokes!
No, I don't see what was wrong with that.
Yeah, a little bit of that double entender, that's what I mean. Anyway... David Tyree, a Super Bowl star, was he in the Super? Was he? Anyway, David Tyree, a National Football League player, warns of catastrophic consequences if gay marriage is legalized. What's that mean, David? In any event, we'll talk about that. And we were also talking about some of these rather humorous Glee auditions that have popped up on YouTube. Megan Amran, you know, she did the one where she painted her face with a lipstick as We Built This City was being played. There's another one, a Glee audition, Don't Stop Believing. And this chick is a riot, man. I don't know who she is. She's got this, like, stroke face.
a single and a smoking.
Anyway.
I thought she's serious.
She ain't serious. Are you nuts?
How do you know?
Are you nuts or something, man? Look at her.
Well, she's not good. Don't mean, or you're trying to say she's a comedian and everything? I don't know.
You know, Bud, why don't you learn how to say comedian?
What?
Comedian?
I'm nervous.
Well, quit being nervous, and if you're nervous, shut up. How about that? She's joking, man. She's joking. Listen.
We people living just a bunch of
what are you doing, man?
Oh, no, man, I think she's serious.
She ain't serious, you idiots. I just like to find out who she is, because she's funny, man. That's all I'm trying to say. Funny.
Not supposed to say man anymore.
Hey, Bud, I'll say what I want to say. I won't say man to Mr. Hall if it bugs him, okay?
Yeah, I can't say cat either.
Yeah, I won't say man, and I won't say cat, okay? So what are you doing?
I want to check out and see.
Turn that down. She's funny. All right. Here is our head story. Pardon me for saying head story. What I mean is our...
Yeah, see? All you doing all that double entendre and everything, you tell me you can't.
Hey, why don't you speak English, Robert, okay?
You speak in Ebonics. Nobody can understand. Ow! Shut up, man.
All right, cut it out. Next Playboy has runaway bride sticker on cover. If you were on Twitter at all today, Hugh Hefner tweeted, he said, it seemed like we had to put a sticker on the cover because they were featuring Crystal Harris, the fiancée of Hugh Hefner, on the cover of Playboy. Now, why is this a story that is of note? It's a story of note for me. I find it interesting. I guess everybody has their own reasons. But for me, it's interesting because it's... Hugh Hefner, there's a guy that knows what he's doing. You know, say what you will about his life, it's a guy that knows what he's doing. The thing that Hugh Hefner does better than anybody else, because I can't really comment on his amorous skills or whether he is the greatest there's ever been with women, but one thing the guy is fantastic at, he's a great magazine publisher. And he's published one of the greatest magazines in the history of the publishing industry. If not, if you want to consider the influence that magazine's had, if not the greatest. Nonetheless, he was dumped by his fiancée, this Crystal Harris, days before their wedding. And he said today, or I should say Wednesday, he's affixing runaway bride stickers over her picture on the cover of the magazine's upcoming issue. Mr. Hefner, who was 85 years of age, announced a day earlier that 25-year-old Crystal Harris had a change of heart and that Saturday's wedding ceremony for 300 people at the Playboy Mansion in Los Angeles had been canceled. In an unfortunate coincidence, Harris appears on the cover of the July Playboy issue. In an unfortunate coincidence.
Yeah, he put her on there.
All right, in any event, in an unfortunate coincidence, Harris appears on the cover of the July Playboy issue, hitting newsstands Friday, described as America's Princess, introducing Mrs. Crystal Hefner. In the interest of journalistic accuracy, Hefner has moved quickly to remedy the situation. Recent events call for a special sticker on the July cover. Look for it on newsstands, Hefner said on Twitter. Now, the big red sticker announcing runaway bride in this issue covers most of her, you know...
ass.
Yes. Still visible is Hefner's beloved Cocker Spaniel.
Oh, man.
I said Cocker Spaniel, which Harris took with her after the split. Wait a second, man. If it's Hefner's Cocker Spaniel, what's she doing with it?
Well, I guess she figures she owns Hefner's Cocker Spaniel.
Yeah.
What are you guys looking at each other for?
Nothing.
I'm going to tell you right now, this is very delicate. If either one of you guys starts getting funny...
I'm not doing anything.
As soon as I said Hefner's Cocker Spaniel, okay, I just saw you look at him.
No, I didn't.
I did. I was looking down, and then I looked up real fast, and there you two guys were looking at each other laughing.
I wasn't laughing. I was smiling.
I told you, and I'll tell you again, if you get cute, because this is very delicate and, you know, material, I'm going to start swinging on people. I don't care what I reckon here. Do you understand?
You're going to do it on the air.
Yes, on the air, I'm going to start swinging.
I didn't do anything.
I'm telling you, Bud. A spokesman said the sticker would appear only on newsstand copy. Okay.
Yeah, you looked up real fast. We didn't do nothing.
A spokesman said the sticker would appear only on newsstand copy.
I didn't do anything, I swear!
Get out of here. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. These two clowns are... Spokesman said the sticker would appear only on newsstand copies since issues have already been mailed to subscribers.
Yay!
Shut up and get out. It's not clear why the couple split, although he's 85 and she's 25, so take a guess. Anyway, Hefner said there were no arguments. TMZ reported that Harris wanted a bigger...
Yeah?
Weekly allowance and a career in the music business. Coincidentally, she released a song, which you will hear, folks, Club Queen, through iTunes on Tuesday. Now, she broke it off on Tuesday, if you'll pardon the expression, broke it off.
Right.
And she released her song Club Queen on Tuesday. She wanted a bigger weekly allowance. According to some of these stories that we've heard coming out of Playboy Land there, out of that mansion, Mr. Hefner, I guess, gave the girls weekly allowances of some kind. I don't know. And there's a whole, look, I don't know. There's probably one of the most interesting books ever in the history of the world that will ever come out will be the story of Hugh Hefner that I imagine will not be written in its entirety until after he passes on. That'll be a fascinating book to read, though. Because just the stuff that I've heard that went on there from some of the other playmates or play people or however the hell, I don't know what the difference is.
Well, they got a bunny and then they got a, what do you call it?
Who let you back in here, man?
All right.
No, you can stay. Just no more of that jazz, okay?
They got a bunny and they got a playmate, then they got a centerfold. There's three different types.
Yeah. And a bunny, that's the highest rated one.
No, you got it wrong. A bunny ain't the highest. Bunnies are the ones that worked in the Playboy clubs.
Ain't that the highest one?
No, man, that ain't nothing. Being the number one is the centerfold.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The centerfold, then the bunny.
No, you're wrong. Centerfold, then the playmates. Those are the girls that are in the magazine. They're top notch.
What about a bunny?
Well, you get off with the stop with the bunny, okay? The bunnies are waitresses, man. That's what the bunnies were. They don't even have any bunnies anymore.
They don't have no bunny.
No, man.
I ain't got no bunny either.
Ow. Go ahead, man. Keep pushing me. Go ahead. Go ahead. I ain't got no bunny. Anyway, the bunnies are in the club. I think there's a few Playboy clubs around. I don't know how many there are. I don't know whether they're any good. I don't know whether anybody goes to them. I don't know what they're, you know. But nonetheless, that's what a bunny is. Now, the marriage would have been Hefner's third, which is kind of interesting considering this man's life. Only three wives?
Yeah, three wives, about 9 million girlfriend.
True. Anyway, it would have been his third. His second wife, former playmate Kimberly Conrad, and her mother were among the friends who consoled him in recent days. And her mother. Oh, Hef. You know, Hefner, known around the world by his nickname Hef, has championed sexual freedom and civil rights, published stories challenging McCarthyism and the Vietnam War, and has a series of children's books coming out. I'm kidding. And the Vietnam War, and back gay causes, and the legalization of marijuana. Raised in San Diego by British parents, Harris met Hefner at his annual Halloween party in 2008. How she got invited is anybody's guess, but take a look. Anyway, she moved into the mansion after a few weeks. After a few weeks, she's moving in, and became Playboy's Playmate of the Month in December 2009. So, you know, that's the other thing. Well, how do you become Playmate of the Month?
Yeah, well, I don't think you ain't necessarily the best-looking one.
Yeah, you're just the one that knows how to...
Shut up. Here is Kimberly Conrad. This is the song, She Wants a Career. She was plugging it big time on Twitter. And I say this with the greatest of kindness, but, you know, there's only so much that your influence will get you in this world. If you suck, you suck. And I say that with all due respect. I mean, you may have all the contacts in the world. You may know everybody that Hef knows. You may have the greatest studio. You may have the biggest breasts. You may have the largest ass. I don't know, but here's her song. Okay, thank you very much. Now,
play it! Come on!
I'm kidding. Here's the song.
In my chamberlain, Royal Highness, wine and diners, let the party begin. For the dukes and the barons and lords, put the tables and the bottles in the VIP
code.
Bring me some more.
Captain Cajones.
Get the ball on the floor.
Bring
me some more.
What the hell is that about, man?
I've got a good beat.
Are you telling me that that song sucks? And I'll tell you why it sucks. It gives you a real good idea. You know, you may think that club music is this, that, or something else, but lyrically, it's all, it at least holds your interest a little bit. What the hell is she singing about?
Being in a VIP room and how bitching it is?
Oh, being in the VIP room and how bitching it is. You know who sings about that cool was like Pink, man. She sang about being in the VIP room and how bitching it is, and it didn't bore me to tears. Being in the VIP room. Uh-oh.
He claimed that he was going to cook it down.
What the hell is that about? I don't know.
Anybody want to see y'all Jesus kill George Bush?
All right. Thank you very much.
Pretty bad, man.
Bad? That doesn't even begin to, it doesn't even begin to abide the telling. All right, we'll be back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Anthony's lawyer's paternity question halts the courtroom today in the Casey Anthony trial. Let's talk about that, because that trial is really interesting, really sick, very important, lots of stuff. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You turn that off, bud. Get out of here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
He claimed that he was going to cook the cat.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and that's just what we do. Now, we have at the bottom of the hour Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County, who will be on to talk a little politics with us. This story from Orlando. Casey Anthony's, it's Orlando, but I lived in Orlando, so I...
You make fun of it?
We made fun of it when we lived there, yeah. Casey Anthony's, I remember I moved to Orlando in 1972. And I worked in construction work, and in those days, as I said, Orlando was a wide spot in the road. It was a big hick burg, and I'm telling you, there was nothing there except for Disney World. That was it. And all of these jobs started popping up. And so we did a lot of construction work. I was a laborer, you know. They taught me how to finish cement and rod busting, all kinds of stuff.
What's rod bust, man? That sounds gay.
Yeah, ain't that with like a ramrod and everything?
Is it right?
A rod buster, rebar, steel, putting steel into footings, things like that.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah, I don't think you are.
Sounds like ramrod.
It wasn't ramrod. In any event...
You were ramrod on a cattle drive?
Yeah. Bitch, you was a ramrod on a cattle drive.
In any event, Orlando has gotten a lot bigger in the intervening years, and as a result, there's been a lot bigger news coming out of Orlando, and this is, like, pretty big. This is almost an international story. Casey Anthony's lead defense attorney sprang a surprise on her at her murder trial on Thursday by questioning whether Casey's brother Lee could be the father... Oh, God! Could be the father of her 2-year-old daughter, Kaylee, who was found dead in 2008. Judge Belvin Perry, who's outstanding, by the way, I just love, immediately dismissed the jury after defense attorney Jose Baez posed the paternity question on the first day of the defense presenting its case after 3.5 weeks of prosecution witnesses. After the jury left, a testy argument erupted between attorneys over the appropriateness of the question. FBI expert... As soon as we're off the air, I gotta watch this one.
Yeah, it's on that website.
Well, I mean, every night I'm watching the trial on the Channel 9 WFTV in Orlando website, and also the Channel 13 one, because those guys follow us on Twitter, so they're way cooler. But anyway, I've been getting caught up, but this sounds fantastic.
Well, Darren, sure, what are you going to watch it to find out whether the brother, you know, they're going to have a one-eyed kid or something?
What? What did you say?
What are you talking about, man?
if the brother and the girl and they got together and they had a baby, did it have one eye?
Why would it have one eye, man? Because the kid's dead.
Oh, I don't mean that one.
You're an idiot. You know that? What do you mean one eye?
Well, inbred?
Yeah, because of the inbreeding.
Hey, bud, you know what? You just quit reading all those comic books, okay? It had one eye. FBI expert Heather Subert told the judge that DNA samples from both Lee and George Anthony, Casey's father, were tested and excluded them as possible fathers. During his opening statement last month, Baez claimed that Casey had been molested by her father and that Kaylee had drowned in the family's swimming pool. On Thursday, Perry chided Baez and asked him to read up on case law on good faith questions. Prosecutors accused Casey, age 25, of killing Kaylee on June 16th, as you know. Kaylee was reported missing in July of 2008. DNA and blood tests on material from Casey's car trunk. How is it this woman is being called by her first name? I don't understand that.
Maybe it's because there's so many people with the same last name.
Well, no, but everything with this woman is Casey Anthony. Oh, Casey. Casey this, Casey that. You want to see the Orlando media. You know, you'd swear to God they were covering a movie star. She's some white trash broad, some a psychopath, and they got, oh, Casey, and here's what she was wearing. Are you trying to tell me, man, is that what they're getting down there? Is that the interest you've got in the case down there? A bunch of women sitting around wondering what this chick is wearing?
You know, you're getting kicked off Orlando radio station again, man.
Well, so what else is new? But I'm just... Never mind.
Yeah, man.
Never mind. Kaylee was reported missing, so DNA and blood testing material from Casey's car trunk and clothing, as well as from duct tape found on or near Kaylee's skull, were the focus of much of Thursday's testimony by three expert witnesses from the FBI. A big red sticker announcing Runaway Bride in this issue covered... Will you get out of... That's the wrong page too, man. Nonetheless, we're going to get into... Where is it, man? Where's page two of this? Nonetheless, we're going to get into the rest of this Anthony story, I guess. Have you got that, Jace? Thank you very much, buddy. I lost page two with the holy Hugh Hefner folderol. So moving on with the story, a tiny bit of DNA material found on the duct tape was determined to belong to FBI document analyst Lori Gottesman. So that was the thing that I saw Bobby Dooley tweeting. She said that this Gottesman, or whatever her name is, butchered this case six ways to sunset.
Yeah, on account they found a DNA.
Well, they ain't going to butcher it up. So they found the DNA of the CSI, the crime spew investigator. Okay.
Yeah, but they'll think she did it.
No, they won't. Are you an idiot or something? They'll say, okay, well, they're looking for DNA of somebody who was there when the crime was committed, and no, it wasn't the crime scene investigator.
Yeah, but I mean, technically, seriously, how do they exclude that totally?
They exclude it totally by saying that this is a crime scene investigator, and that's where that DNA, that's how it got there, okay? That's not a reasonable doubt. Do you understand? When they say reasonable doubt, it's got to be a reasonable doubt. If I'm in a jury room, and somebody in the jury room, we're deciding whether this woman is guilty or not, and someone says, yeah, but what about the FBI's CSI analyst? But I would say, not a chance, man. That obviously got on there as the result of the collection of that evidence. That's not, in my opinion, that's not a reasonable doubt. I'm not going to sit there and go, wait a minute. The FBI analyst might have committed this murder and then came back as a member of the CSI team and collected DNA. It's possible. Yeah, bullcrap. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more news. Larry Grover is going to join us in just a moment to discuss an encounter you're not going to believe. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Larry Grover joining us from Conservatives of Kern County is on our newsmaker line. Larry, how are you doing?
I'm great, Phil.
And we're going to talk tonight about an unusual encounter. This doesn't have anything to do with the...
This has nothing to do, Phil, with the... this doesn't have anything to do, really, with the work that we do at Conservatives of Kern County. What this has more to do with is an unusual experience. I suppose you could say this belongs more on one of the programs. You talked about the Coast to Coast and a show like that.
Like on George's show.
Yes, on Mr. Norrie's show. And here is the story. And
maybe we could help facilitate an appearance on there for you.
I think it would behoove whoever books that show to have me on, because it's very unusual. And there's a program that I saw here on television on the, I believe, the Discovery Channel, Celebrity Ghost Encounters. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a celebrity, and this is not about a ghost necessarily, but it was a very unusual, but ultimately, and this is what's different about this, it was an unusual, and it started out very frightening, but it ultimately led to a very satisfying day for me, if I can describe it to you.
Go ahead.
Well, I was downtown, and I was getting some court records for, we're getting court records together for our filing and eventually running in the state Senate race, and I saw a gentleman at the Hall of Records in downtown Los Angeles. He turned the corner, and at first I sort of shook my head because this man looked exactly like me.
You saw a guy that looked exactly like you.
Bill, I don't know how to stress this. This man's features, his face, I believe even his eye color, he looked exactly like me. I even at one point sort of stood there, asked, did I see what I just saw? Obviously, he wasn't wearing the same thing. I was wearing a windbreaker and some slacks and a sports shirt. And this gentleman had on a leather coat, black jeans, and he had a tattoo on his neck. But other than that, he looked exactly like me.
You were in a...
I was in a windbreaker, slacks, and a sports shirt.
And this guy had a leather jacket, black jeans, and a tattoo on his neck.
Yeah, but we were identical.
How old are you?
I'm 43.
Did you find out the age of this man?
I did not. But let me just say, I walked up to him, and he looked, and he did a double take. Now, his name is William Conway. William Conway was his name. And we got to talking. It was the craziest thing.
Did he acknowledge the fact that the two of you looked alike?
Yes, he did. He saw it himself, and he said it's very unusual. And the first thing that we did is we tried to figure out, well, are we related? And we're not. My family is originally from California. His family is in Maryland. And he moved here, I think he moved in California a number of years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago. But his family is from a completely different part of the country. Family name is Conway, as far as he knows, going back several generations. Our family name is Grover, and his family came from Scotland, and my family is of many generations here in California. So there wasn't much there in terms of...
In terms of you guys being related.
Yeah.
So this is a twin.
It was a... Let me put it to you this way. If you've ever heard of a doppelganger...
I've heard of the term, yeah.
Doppelganger, in its original meaning, was your twin in another dimension. That's why I thought that this George Norrie show might be more appropriate for me to talk about this experience. But if not obviously a doppelganger in that sense, I don't believe in other dimensions. But we did talk. I said, you look exactly like me. He said, I know that. He said, I didn't see it until you walked up. I said, well, I saw you as you turned the corner.
What did his voice sound like?
Well, his voice was a little bit, I would say maybe a tad higher pitched than mine, but a similar pattern. I asked him his education. I mean, we're completely different. I've been to college. He hasn't. I've been mostly in the white-collar world. He's been a blue-collar worker. He was a machinist is a machinist out here. He collects motorcycles, and of course, you know me, I'm living with Mother, and which brings me to the point. I called Mother, and I asked her, I said, would you hold on for a minute, I want to make a call. So I got my phone, and I called Mother, and I said, I've met a man that And this is the part of the story that, to be honest with you, Phil, it could have turned bad. Because I called Mother, I said, I've met a man that looks exactly like me. And she hung up on me.
And why'd she do that?
Because she doesn't think very highly of me. I'm living at the house there. I'm not paying rent. I'm sleeping on a cot down on the service porch. And when I call her and I say, I met a man who looks like me, she just hung up.
Did you call her back?
No, I'm not going to waste my time. I said to this gentleman, I said, I would love to, and here's the part that I'm getting at. I was attracted to him. Now, before you ask any questions, I'm straight.
Uh-huh.
Boy, I sure wish you hadn't have said, uh-huh.
Because, well, I'm listening, Larry, okay?
You're listening. Have you already judged me?
I'm not judging. You're straight, but you're attracted to this guy?
Yes.
Why?
Because he looked exactly like me. Why wouldn't I be? Why wouldn't I be attracted?
I don't know. I mean, I've never...
Think about it. If you met a guy that looked like you, wouldn't you be attracted to him?
Not necessarily, no.
Huh? What are you talking about?
Larry...
Wait a minute.
Hold on for a minute. What does that mean?
What does it mean? I met a guy... Here was my theory. I was attracted to him. So that's not gay. That's a new kind of supra sex or super sex. So you've got heterosexual, you have homosexual, but if you meet your own doppelganger, if you meet, Phil, your own twin, it becomes super sexual or pretersexual or unnatural. I don't know, but
And you're not gay, huh?
Well, listen to you. What, are you an expert all of a sudden?
Come on, Larry. You meet a guy who looks just like you. Now you're attracted to him. What are you trying to say?
I'm telling you, I had sex with him. Oh, here comes the silence. Ooh, man. Maybe we ought to have some crescendoing music.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. And I'm admitting it fully on your program. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I know I'm not gay. I'm saying it because I had sex with my own doppelganger.
Right, so that means...
Look at all those pauses, Phil. I know what they mean. You're looking at Bud, and you're looking at that other, Robert, and you're saying, boy, what an ass we got on the phone.
I didn't look at anybody, okay? They're both sitting here with... They're stunned. They're listening very quietly, and nobody's doing anything. We're listening to what you're saying. You met a guy... What time is it, Bud?
Get 4 minutes.
You met a guy...
What do you mean, what time is it?
I'm looking at the clock because we have a break coming up. You met a guy that looks exactly like you.
That's what I said, and I don't stutter.
Okay, what all of a sudden you got an attitude?
Well, you guys, I'm trying to explain something to you that is a transcendent experience. I don't know if anyone has ever had this before. To meet your own doppelganger, to converse with your own doppelganger. I can hear you guys laughing.
I'm not laughing at anything, okay?
Yeah, because you're holding it in. Aren't you holding it in? How I hate you.
Good line, bud.
You're the funniest thing I ever heard.
My own doppelganger. Then I oiled up my own doppelganger.
That was pretty funny, bud.
Oh, God.
He calls back?
If he calls back, put him back on, yeah. Oh, my God. The guy's like, I met my own doppelganger. I had lunch with my own doppelganger. Then I oiled up my own doppelganger.
Man, I don't know if he's going to call back. He'd be pissed off.
Well, what does he expect, man? He calls the show up with a story like that? What does he think is going to happen? What the hell am I supposed to do, Is he back?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Larry?
Did you get your cookies? Huh? You having a good time?
Larry, hold on for a minute, all right?
Yep.
No, hold on for a minute. You can't call this show with a story like that and not expect me to start laughing at some point.
What is funny about that? I'm telling you about a transcendent experience. I saw my own twin. Now, in some circles, Phil, in far more intelligent circles than this one that I'm in right now, some people think that that's a significant event to encounter your own doppelganger.
Well, you know what, Larry? I will say this.
Yeah?
Your instinct originally to go over on George's show, that might have been a smart one. And maybe he would be able to handle that. And if that were true, your instinct, then coming on my show, you should have known.
Why?
Because you know we do laughs over here.
I've always been treated with respect.
Yes.
On your program.
Yes, we have treated you with respect.
And I thought I'd get the same treatment tonight. Instead, I've got Laughing Boy there oiling up my... God.
All right, so you had sex with your own doppelganger.
Yes. Do you want to laugh now? Do you want to cue a laugh track? What you guys should have is a laugh track. And I can say it. I had sex with my own doppelganger. Oh, man. There are days when I can see the blood running in the streets.
You know, that's a threat, man.
No, it's not.
Yeah, he sounded serious.
No, he's not threatening days I can see blood running in the streets. I don't know, man. It sounds like a goofy story. And
well, you don't believe it, do you?
No, I don't believe it. If he had sex with another guy today, he's coming up with he's concocted some story to make himself feel better. You know?
Like he's trying to come up, like he's living in denial and everything like that.
Yes, living in denial. You know?
Well, what do you mean? You think the guy looked at all like him?
I think that Larry went through something today, man, where he had sex with another guy, and he's trying to convince himself he ain't gay, so he came up with some doppelganger story. The goofiest thing I ever heard in my life. You know? And he got what he should have expected. He's going to come on this show. What the hell does he think is going to happen?
Probably that we're going to talk about all scientific and everything on account of Art Bell.
Well, we ain't doing that. So, we'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show. I don't know if Larry's going to call back or not. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. San Francisco's animal control wants to ban pet sales, and the ban would even include goldfish. PhilHenryShow.com. And, of course, the world-famous Phil Henry Show back in a moment.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, I hate you.
For patriots, by patriots, it's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We have the story about San Francisco banning pet sales. And an interesting story. I don't know whether I disagree or agree. I know that when we had the problem with the tiger, I've never liked zoos. And I understand that that puts me outside the mainstream of Americans. It's weird to be a guy that believes something kind of weird. You know, I understand how it's weird. You know, I know that there are many people listening who say, well, what's wrong with taking our kids to the zoo? I get it. I understand. And I know that when I say I don't like zoos, you're probably saying, well, you're some kind of a weird ass. I get that, too. I can only tell you I don't like zoos because it's not where wild animals belong. Wild animals that are healthy, and wild animals that have no... are not at any danger, but have just been plucked from the wild so that humans can stare at them. I think it's cruel. And I know that they're not human beings, so I'm not asking to extend to them voting rights, and I don't think they ought to be able to own property. I'm just saying there is a thing called the humanitarian sense. You know, the humane society was created in the 19th century because as humans, unlike any other animal, we feel empathy for all other creatures. We feel for all of these creatures that we share this planet with. That's why we call it humane. And I just don't see any point in it. This doesn't have anything to do with that. This is the Ever-Active Animal Control and Welfare Commission of San Francisco. They've renewed their push for a pet sale ban in the city, only this time it would even cover goldfish. This is in San Francisco. The idea is to put the squeeze on puppy and kitten mills that supply pet stores and to discourage impulse buys of hamsters and other small pets that often wind up being dumped at shelters. Puppy mills and kitten mills are places where they're literally churning out very inhumane to the dog or the cat that is actually having these litters. And on top of everything else, disease runs rampant. Most fish in aquariums are either mass bred under inhumane conditions or taken from the wild. Commission member Philip Jerry said that leads to devastation of tropical fish from places like Southeast Asia. I don't know, man, about that.
Well, what's the matter with fish?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's just at some point I don't extend the same. I saltwater fish, you know, they say that you can tell the relative intelligence of fish. Saltwater fish's eyes move. You know, if you look at a saltwater fish, their eyes move around. They look up, they look down, they look off to the side, that kind of thing. And
what about a shark?
I don't know about sharks. Lake fish are kind of dumbass fish because their eyes are just dead. They just kind of like stare straight ahead.
Oh, yeah. So you're going to try to torture them?
I ain't saying torture them. I'm just trying to draw the line someplace. All right, Larry back. Larry, you know, you've hung up on me twice, okay?
That's right, yes.
I'm simply asking you, and I apologize, Larry. I apologize, okay?
You guys are sitting there and you're having yourselves a big laugh. I'm telling you I saw my doppelganger.
And you had sex with him?
Yes, I did. And no, it's not gay sex, because when you have sex, and I'm not saying that I invented this, it is my theory and my firm belief, I don't want to have sex with other guys. Okay, I want to be very clear.
You only wanted to have sex with the guy that looks like you.
Not a guy that looks like me, my absolute twin.
Well, Larry, you know, can I offer an opinion here?
What have you been doing? For the whole hour, you guys have been offering opinions, laughing, throwing all kinds of... If we were in a classroom someplace, you guys would have shoved some kind of flaming binder paper down the crotch of my pants.
Whatever that means.
You know what it means.
Here's what I want to say. Is it possible that you met a guy today that you thought looked like you?
No. No, I didn't think nothing. Okay, you want me to get this guy on the phone because I've got his phone number?
Yeah. Does he sound like you?
Yeah, with a little bit of a higher pitched voice, he sounds like me. You want me to get him on the phone?
Yes, I would.
Would that prove it to you?
Well, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I want you to. I don't even believe it.
Oh, he doesn't believe it, huh?
Shut up, bud. Get him on the phone.
Yeah, shut up, bud.
You shut up.
Shut up, bud.
Hold on for a minute. Let me get the phone number here. No. What is that? Caesar's Pizza. Little Caesar, no. Little Seat Round Table. Domino's.
You got all these pizza addresses?
Not addresses, they're phone numbers. Domino's Round Table, Little Caesar. Domino's Round Table, Little Caesar. Domino's Round... Here it is, Conway. All right.
You got pizza numbers and you got this guy's number.
Hold on for a minute. Okay, here we go. I'm going to patch him through, Phil.
All right.
Hey, Bill? Yeah, hi. Larry Grover. Look, Bill, I want to put you on with Phil Hendry. He's a friend of mine, okay? Great. Fine, say hi to Phil Hendry. Hi, Phil.
Yeah, how you doing, Bill?
Feel good. Now, do you believe me? You're telling me you don't believe me?
Let me talk to Bill.
All right. Good, he wants to talk to you. Okay.
So, Bill, where'd you meet Larry?
I met him at the Hall of Records downtown.
Really? You know, you sound just like him, except your voice is a little more high-pitched.
Is that right? That's what Larry told me, too.
So...
Wait. Ask me some questions. You're pausing almost as if you think this is all bullcrap.
I do, man.
You do, man? What did I tell you about saying that?
Aha!
Wait a minute.
Yeah! I didn't say anything to Bill Conway about that. I said it to you.
Wait a minute. Maybe he shares my mental... God...
Yeah, he shares your mental, all right. Both of you guys share one thing. You're gay. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Dan Northcraft, and our associate producer is Chris Johnson. The Phil Hendry Show website at philhendryshow.com, with podcasts, with merchandise, with our video casts and our video cast archive. Check it out. PhilHendryShow.com. See you tonight. Phil Hendry.